When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, check in. Yeah, keep doing that.
Chicken. That's what the podcast is now.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to episode 318 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, August 19th, 2018. My name is Dan Gorman, and hello, Simpson. I'm riding the bus today because Mother hid my car keys to punish me for talking to a woman on the phone. She was right to do it.
My name is Casey Lyons, and are you the umlaut in Chloe Sevigny's name? Because I don't know why you're here, but I'm glad you are.
My name is Greg LeGros, and Kevin wants to cover him in buttholes, too.
Oh, we have lots of stuff to talk about this week, including our punishment film, Dracula in Love. I believe it was a winner's choice film roulette,
yeah.
And our punishment album, which did change, and we will update you with that in our film roulette segment.
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised.
Yeah. But before that, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC, which is where you will be alerted of new podcast episodes. If you are not subscribed to us on your favorite podcast app in your phone, which is also where you will find our episodes, you can also go to modernsuperior.com and find the RSS feed there. Otherwise, what's going on?
Oh, there's stuff to talk about.
Oh, we got in the new news and movies we've watched. It's been a couple weeks, so we've got lots.
Yeah.
In there. I feel like, as always, we got to get the sads out of the way first. We lost somebody, and we haven't had a podcast episode since then. Burt Reynolds.
Talk about old Burt.
Yeah.
That did really bum me out.
Yeah. It was a surprise one. I feel like I wasn't expected. Like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, never super expect old it, but, and, you know, probably yeah. coming, but yeah. I thought there was going to be one more.
He was super old and probably coming.
No. He died doing what he loved best.
Yeah, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I think Burt Reynolds will be remembered best for his ejaculations.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad this is where we've gone to immediately.
I know.
Without mentioning one of his films.
No, oh, yeah. I've missed you, fellas.
I thought there was going to be one more, like, Boogie Nights-esque resurgence of Burt.
There was supposed to be.
He was
going to
be in this next
Tarantino movie,
which is a perfect fit.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate that...
Yeah.
Now, chances are he would have come out after the fact against the movie, sure. Like he did with Boogie Nights.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds,
that's the magic of him. He's just... I love Burt Reynolds movies.
Yeah.
I own a lot of them. I not just in my you know, let's get some funny VHS movies collection, but like I own the Pursuit Pack.
Yeah.
Smoking
nice.
The Bandit series on DVD.
Oh, man.
I have a couple of Burt Reynolds double features, you know, like
nice.
City Heat and Malone and
yeah.
You know.
One of those I haven't seen, and the one that I have seen, oh boy,
Which one have you seen?
I've seen City Heat.
Oh, Malone is way better.
Good. Yeah, I've been. I actually have that to watch now.
Yeah.
I had. I made a little pile of like I should have watched these by now movies, and one of them was Malone.
Right.
Of his.
I got another one that has Sharky's Machine.
I got that ready to go.
That's
too.
A good movie.
Yeah,
and I like Heat. Sharky's Machine. And what?
And Heat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a movie last year called The Last Movie Star.
Right.
That apparently isn't like the greatest movie ever, but his performance in it is apparently like. People are going to look back on this and be like, holy shit, this performance. Too bad the movie's not amazing, but yeah.
Well, there's a lot of those. He has a lot of bad movies that he's always fun in because he's you know, he's a movie star.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
just, in you know, he's bigger than life in every sense, you know, and some of his performances are just like winking at the camera, but God love him for it. That's great.
That like
so few people can pull that off in any manner, you know.
I'll always remember Burt Reynolds as being a movie star who was barely in the movies because like I feel like everyone else was in the movie and he was just in front of the camera.
Yeah. But then like, you know, I guess sort of like Nicolas Cage, every once in a while I'll be like, oh, fuck, do you want me to turn it on? Let's turn it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like it's easy for someone like me that's a little bit younger to forget, like, how much of a thing he was. Like,
he was
when Smoke and the Bandit came out,
huge.
Like...
huge.
Yeah, like, unreal. And
1970s?
Yeah,
Burt Reynolds.
Totally.
I'll always remember him naked on that rug.
Yeah. That's quite a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is,
talking about his dick?
Yeah, quite a thing.
Yeah, and there's tons of movies in his career that I still need to get to and am going to.
But there's so many to watch for different reasons. There are quality ones, obviously, like Deliverance, you're going to talk about. And The Longest Yard is a great gritty comedy of its time. And there's a bunch, but a bunch of the fun ones, too. Like Sharky's Machine... is a little like cheeky, but it's also like pretty good, kind of sleazy 80s action, you know, in the best kind of way. But then, you know, and there's like Hooper and shit. You know, there's a bunch of really silly ones. Any of the ones where he plays like a stuntman or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or basically anything from like 1979 to about 1986 is going to be, you know, kind of comedy gold.
Yeah.
They're really silly, but they're a good time. They're always a little entertaining.
I'm going to watch Gator.
Yes.
Which he directed.
Gator's dynamite.
Yeah, I gotta watch that
one. Oh, my God. Or if you've watched Archer ever in your life, you know that Gator's got some fun stuff in it.
Yeah, and then there's one with him and Candace Bergen called Starting Over, which is supposed to be good, about, like, they're getting divorced. It's like kind of like a comedy drama.
Right.
So that's one that I was like, oh, I heard this is actually an underrated thing.
Yeah.
Dick. Remember that
called? I got time for Stick.
Yeah.
I've seen Stick.
Totally. But then there's, like, Rent-A-Cop.
Yep.
That's... pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, when it was a dud, it was pretty good.
City Heat's a little flat.
It's not good, yeah.
It's a shame, because
it
seems
be
like
good.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And man, Clint doing comedy.
Yeah.
Deadpan style.
Totally.
But,
not quite.
A bizarre career. Ups, downs, really weird choices.
Yeah.
Strange successes. You know, and showing up and being amazing in weird things, like Striptease should barely be... a mentionable film, but fuck me, is he amazing in it. He's amazing in it.
I've never seen Striptease.
No? It's all right.
It's
extremely watchable.
Yeah.
It's watchable. It's definitely watchable.
To me, Moore was doing, I don't know, unpredictable movies at this time period.
Yeah.
And she really went all in on all of them.
Yeah.
Which makes it work. So she sells the movie really well because she's a great centerpiece for it. She's solid in it, just like G.I. Jane, which on its face might seem a little like not going to be great, but it's actually a pretty good movie, and she is fucking dynamite.
Well, it's Ridley Scott, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Or Tony? Tony. Ridley? Tony. Ridley.
Yeah.
And Viggo's in it. He's very good in it.
Burt Reynolds, I also remember having
Viggo the Carpathian?
Yeah.
He was also in Silent Movie, and he played himself, and there was the Mel Brooks film, and there I remember his bit being pretty funny, because he's playing himself right around the time, like, just before Smoking the Bandit, so it's, like, almost peak himself,
and he's playing himself
in this Silent Movie. I always liked that.
Yeah. And, like, Evening Shade. Remember when he was a sitcom star?
Mary Lou Henner.
Fuck yeah. Michael Jeter.
Rest in peace, Michael Jeter.
Absolutely.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, it was not a bad show, and it was a huge hit. Huge hit.
Yeah.
Strange.
Weirdly huge hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarre career.
So
super
such
weird.
A bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, made the most of it.
Totally.
I'll never forget him for throwing water on, what's his name, Mark Summers?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
That's fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. Burt Reynolds. Yeah. Yeah. Check out some of his movies that you haven't seen in memory. Yeah.
Oh, God.
stuff. I
I'm
also
just going through it. Jeez, look at it all.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I need to do a Burt Reynolds film.
Yeah, list. Totally.
Hooper. Look at Hooper. He's blowing a bubble.
Yeah. Got some
gum. Oh, Semi-Tough. Watch Semi-Tough. It's
oh,
great.
Yeah. I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Oh, man.
Yep.
Thanks, Burt.
Yeah. Well, from Burt to Bruce Campbell, that is, did you know that he may be open to doing a return to Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Oh, man, well, I hope so.
He's always spoken about that show fondly.
Well, as he should, because it's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who else is talking about doing it?
I don't know. It's got a cult following.
Yeah,
oh,
totally.
I'm not saying people didn't love it. I'm just saying, like, it seems like... Of course he's open to doing it because he's always talked about how he loved it. But, yeah. You know.
It's a great show. Really fun. Athena bought me the full series on DVD when we first started dating. And I was like, keeper.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
If you never watched Briscoe County Jr., do yourself a favor. It's great. Like, it's sort of in the vein of, like, if you enjoyed stuff like Xena and Hercules as far as it's like... tempo of television
it's
the time period.
It's interesting,
it's a Western.
For you to say that, because at first you're like, no, well, it was a Western, but then I'm like, no, but yeah, it was exactly that era television.
Yeah,
that kind of like sort of funny but sort of
but
genre.
No, there's more gags in Briscoe. Like, they were funnier. Like, the best example of the sense of humor, I think, is one where Briscoe and his partners, they sneak down into this mine to try and find out what these bad guys are doing, and they're hiding behind this crate. And the bad guy's telling his whole evil plan. And then when he's done, he's like, where's my portrait artist? And there's a guy who's been drawing him, give a speech. He's like, look at this. Hey, who are these two? He drew them hiding behind the crate. He's like, who are these two guys over here? That's great.
That's so
good. I like that kind of humor.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
So funny. Yeah. I hope they do something with it.
Just a quick divergent. He died in 2017. I don't know if we ever talked about that Brent Briscoe died. He's. Hmm. I always put him tangentially into that whole world, just because of A Simple Plan.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But he was great. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. is one of those ones that's been kind of bubbling under the surface of people who saw it, loved it. I remember always catching it and being like, "This is a really fun show, and it's got the guy from Evil Dead in it."
Totally.
But I do feel like it's one of those things that is gonna catch on more and more. Because it's really good.
Yeah, it's great. To get the role, they really ran Bruce through the ringer, making him audition. I think they were just having a great time because the producers kept on bringing him back and bringing other producers into the room and making him do the thing where he flips himself.
Yeah.
That he does in Evil Dead 2, and he grabs the back of his head and just flips himself flat out on the floor, and they're like, do the flip thing again. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really hurting myself.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
I'm 40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a great show.
Nice.
And that would be great.
Yeah.
I'd be right into that.
He made mention of, like, maybe it could be a 2-hour TV movie, or maybe it could be like a 6-hour limited series. Mm-hmm. And I think a 2-hour TV movie would be kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Totally.
Or let's just get more Bruce Campbell projects.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty good.
I feel like the 2-hour TV movie could be a way to do a character like that where you don't necessarily have to reintroduce it.
Yeah.
You know, it can just be like new people would be like, oh, he's in a movie where he's a Western kind of thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily have to be like, catch you up on all the old.
No, I would assume they just give you something you could kind of
grab onto.
Yeah. And because you'd have to get new people too, because Julius Carey died.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 10, 15 years ago, didn't he? Which is a bummer.
Totally.
He was a young man.
Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Check it out and hope for a new one. Yeah. Did you guys watch the trailer for Captain Marvel yet?
Yeah.
Yes, I watched the teaser trailer and then the trailer.
So that's news. What's going on there?
I think that looks like a great movie.
It looks really good.
The teaser trailer, I was like, what? And then the trailer was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
Boy. Yeah. It looks fucking great.
So good. And she's just going to kill it.
I know. Yeah. And
well, the weird thing is, like, the way she's playing it, like, I know that she's not, you know, like, she's not just, like, a hapless, like, oh, I just fell into this kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot more to her character, but she seems to be almost playing it a little bit more, like, more real. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just something sort of really, like, there's a lot of humanity to the character that I've seen in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's going to be, this is going to be a bit of a divergence in the...
Yeah. All the flashing back to, like, times in her life where she'd had to, like... get back up again, like it flashes to her playing baseball and like something happened and she has to like get herself back up and dust off or whatever. They do that thing and it's like, oh, I feel like this is going to kill it, like in the, like, just seems like what you're saying, they're going to ground it and it's going to be really interesting to see that arc play over the whole movie.
Because
it seems like they're really with that stuff and then the, like, the old person that she punches in the trailer. I just feel like there's a real interesting...
I was like, listen, you've got my attention. And then she punched an old lady in the face.
I just, it just feels like they're really playing with something that I want to see more of with, like, her character.
Well, it's a great character that's had so much change and development over the years there's in the comics. And then you go and get such a great actress in Brie Larson, who's going to bring something heavy to the table. And honestly, they have to really hang Marvel's hat on this. This is the centerpiece future. Like, this is because Guardians is supposed to kind of kick off the next big phase. But this is your Captain America. She is the central figure of the team because she's basically, it's like, as far as ability and modern moral compass, she is Captain America and Iron Man at the same time. So,
nice.
Like, this is, she's a huge piece for the middle. I'm not surprised that it looked this good.
Yeah.
But I was still like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
And it came at a time when I still haven't seen Infinity Wars, and I, like, was kind of feeling...
Oh, really?
No, and I was kind of feeling, like, burnt out on the superhero stuff,
man.
But then Ant-Man and the Wasp hit, and I was like, whee!
I just rewatched Infinity War the other day. Fuck, man, that's great.
I gotta watch
it. Good.
It is really good.
So
good. And on a second watch, I think even better.
Yeah.
I was just in it. I was so like just cozy watching it. It was like every scene is cracking. Fucking Robert Downey Jr. is hilarious in it.
Yeah.
He's really like, I don't know. I
really loved the relationship. I think I was talking to Matt Brown about this. It was really a lot of fun to watch him and Benedict Cumberbatch flirt with each other.
Wonderful.
I think they were...
All of
their chemistry is fantastic.
That whole story arc that's going on and with Peter is just... boy, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch
it. It's a fucking terrific movie.
Yeah.
Maybe this trailer
has reinvigorated me on the, like, I gotta watch that and I gotta...
Yeah.
Because when these movies work for me, it's so much fun and so good.
Yeah, and it's a... It was great on the big screen because it's such a spectacle, but Infinity War is a really good, cozy, at-home movie.
Yeah.
I was just so happy on the couch. It's like, yay! And Brolin's fucking awesome. God damn it, Thanos is something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man Alive.
Really
what a
good.
Great movie.
Yeah, amazing.
Raw, good.
So Captain Marvel looks so good.
Speaking of trailers, did you guys happen to see the trailer for the new Magnum P.I.?
Yes, I have.
No.
The thing about it is that it's not Magnum P.I.
No.
And the thing about it not being Magnum P.I. is because it's not Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Tom Selleck is Magnum P.I.
That's right.
Now, I mean, this is a hard one because, you know, you go like, well, you know, do whatever you want, remake whatever you want because the original still exists and I can just live in that world. But this one is just like, this is stupid.
It's just not going to be good because, now, it's not like the Magnum P.I. wasn't a good show, but Tom Selleck was interesting. It is a good show, and it had a lot of stuff that worked for it. With Magnum's past, with them being all non-buddies and stuff like that, like, there's a real thing about it that was great for its time in having a lead actor like that, which we don't really have guys like that as actors anymore. I don't know what that big Tom Selleck, Harrison Ford fellas, they're all gone. I don't know where they went. They don't act anymore. I guess they just play football.
Well, I mean, oh God, what was I going to say?
Yeah, I don't know. and I like Jay Hernandez. I think he's a fine actor. I've enjoyed him and stuff.
I think he's
but
fine. I don't know. I've never been like, yay, that guy.
Sure.
But it's not just Tom Selleck either. It's everyone. Like, is John Hillerman, is that his name?
Yeah.
He's as much a Magnum PI as Tom Selleck. And, TC.
Heck yeah.
Whatever the hell that guy's name was. as much as it was a Tom Selleck show, I mean, it was a real ensemble thing.
Totally.
I feel like.
Well, and their relationship as non-buddies was important.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why TC is so good at flying that fucking super dope helicopter. I guess I was happy that the helicopter looked the same, but then also I was kind of like, well, you can't have that helicopter.
Get
your own damn helicopter.
And he's driving the same car, even. Yeah. And like so, it just felt cheap. It felt
weird.
If we make all the vehicles the same, then it'll hit everybody's nostalgia button.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like
keep
it.
Your hands
I find
off
it, it's weird
button.
The these TV reboots have been so, like, the Lethal Weapon one, and there's the Hawaii 5-0 and all this stuff. It just feels like these reboots of these kinds of shows that we almost don't really have that much anymore, although now we do with the reboots, but I just feel like they should work. Like, I want that kind of, like, adventure of the week, you know, like, cop story of the week thing.
Yeah.
From
make
a show
a guy.
With like a fun.
Make up a show.
Yeah.
Stop making it something else.
Yeah. Make up a new guy. That's,
yeah.
That's
or do
cool
Magnum PI, but dude, good.
Yeah.
<I don't know.
laughs> No, there's nobody. There's no one that's Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
It's a very specific thing.
I would argue that Tom Selleck is.
Well.
Yeah. I wanted that Lethal Weapon one to work because I felt like it could have been good if it was the right, you know, script and people and stuff.
Yeah, but it's terrible.
Yeah, it's so bad.
For a night out
I know.
On the town.
Oh, there's a toddler coming down the stairs with
hello.
A person.
Hello.
She has this dog upstairs.
Yeah.
It's a superhero dog. I don't know. He's got a cape. And he talks
you
and
don't
stuff.
Think he's just a flamboyant dog? Yeah,
no. And it's a mask, too. Mm. You turn him on, he's got batteries. And he talks and says things. But then it farts. And blames you.
What?
Yeah, it's like, that was you.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's extremely weird.
Weird is what it is.
Yeah. Strange feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, put your purse on.
Yeah, gotta go to work.
Oh, she's going clubbing.
Yeah, yeah.
Magnum,
dumb.
Yeah.
Have you guys, like Mag Dumb.
Yes.
Have you guys been watching anything?
Yeah.
Hey. No, there's more news.
Okay.
The big news.
What's the big news?
Henry Cavill out as Superman.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And Affleck out as Batman.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa was like, hey, my movie didn't come out yet, you dicks. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to be like, well, hey, Jason, you can keep the suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope your movie works out. Yeah. Which one are you again? Aquaman?
Oh, what a shit show, DC.
Yeah, but then there's all the big rumors they can't stop talking about. It. Is Michael B. Jordan going to be the new Superman?
Yeah.
I would love that
just very much.
Just do it. It would be so good.
God.
He'd be such a good Superman. And they've got released pictures of Joaquin Phoenix, not as the Joker, but just to, you know.
Yes.
And they're,
Arthur Fleck?
Sure. So I think what they're doing with that is they're borrowing from the Killing Joke, which is one of the first, right, maybe the first proposed Joker origins.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the movie is leaning influence on King of Comedy with De Niro and Jerry Lewis.
Right.
So I would think that's probably probable and interesting, which also means if they're making all this change, no more Henry Cavill, no more Ben Affleck, I can assume we can forget about the Jared Leto Joker movie,
but
right?
But that's what I heard, is that there's
it's
still...
It's got to go away. It's going to go away.
No, that's totally what I thought, but then I just heard that they're still working on Suicide Buddies 2. What is it called?
Suicide Buddies
is a podcast.
That seems
good. Suicide Squad 2.
There's no way they're making that. Their whole fucking thing is falling apart. They're not going to rely on their...
Why would they... I heard it's going to... And that the Joker's going to have a more sizable role in it, and that it's Jared Leto. But I'm like, what? Why are you not... Like, you're doing something interesting with this whole Joker origin thing. You're getting rid of Affleck and Henry Cavill, which is absolutely fine. You're starting to build...
Just... commit
your
to
own
the change.
Cooler kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Why would you keep the one thing everybody hates?
Like, no one likes that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
There was nothing about it that anyone enjoyed.
This is a scenario where they need to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes, yes.
Just
yes.
throw all of it out the window and yeah. say, sorry for everything. Let's just start a whole new world.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't work.
Let's,
yeah.
let's get
fuck?
Rid of all of the vestiges of Zack Snyder world yeah. and come up with something cool and different from the
yeah.
Marvel
yeah. And
universe.
If you want to move ahead, if you want to catch Marvel and you want to shake off all this nasty shit, then go ahead and move forward with progress and,
yeah.
you know, fucking bump the whole racial stereotype of superheroes out of the fucking way
yeah.
and make Michael B. Jordan Superman.
That'd be amazing.
He wants to be.
Yeah.
Because, fuck, man, that would be, that's, ah, God, you could just see him in the suit.
Yeah. yeah. It's fucking perfect.
He's
but
the
then
guy.
At the same time, it almost seems a little on the nose. Like, definitely, like, cast, like, don't worry about casting a white man, but, like, and Michael B. Jordan would fucking kill it.
Yes.
He would be, like, the quintessential Batman, but I don't know. There's something about it that almost seems like.
Do you want,
like,
a like lesser
he
known?
Wouldn't do that. Yeah, I almost do. I almost want somebody who's not, like. I want Michael B. Jordan to be. On a whole other level. The thing is, I want the Michael B. Jordan from, like, Fruitvale Station. Like, I want him to make really cool little movies like that
mm-hmm.
Again, and I want Ryan Coogler to do the same thing. But, I don't know, maybe I'm just being selfish, and I want them to go into, like, a little realm that I prefer.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, DC's got to do something.
Yeah.
They got to do something.
But that's something.
Yeah.
Like, that's something.
Yeah. yeah.
I'd be, oh, man, I want it to happen so bad.
Yeah.
He'd be the fucking coolest Superman.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go get that. Hopefully this Joaquin Phoenix thing works out. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
And you get your new Batman in there. I still don't know what's going on with that the mysterious casting of Oscar Isaac and nothing else.
Yeah.
With that proposed trilogy. But they could reroute this ship so fast.
Yeah.
And nobody,
by making,
like,
progressive, interesting choices.
Not
chasing,
like,
Marvel. Do your own thing.
It's not like it would be embarrassing for them or anything. Like, it's not like it would be like admitting defeat, because they've already been defeating themselves with the last
oh my
three
God.
Movies
for a while now. It has been over.
Yeah.
But interesting stuff.
Yeah,
interesting stuff.
good stuff.
Watching stuff.
Yeah. So did you guys check anything out recently on the motion picture screens?
Too. I watch things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I really quickly will talk about something that we've mentioned in the past that Casey has not yet finished. I don't know about you, Greg. Have you been watching more Castle Rock or no?
Yes, but then it became harder to watch it. Not because
yes.
of the show.
Yeah.
I am at the beginning of episode 7, which
okay.
I understand is quite an episode.
Holy shit.
Boy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I finished the series. I won't say anything about it too much, but it was a real roller coaster for me because there was definitely ups and downs in my interest level for certain episodes.
Yeah, I get that.
Especially through the middle. And then once you hit episode 7, like I don't want to be hyperbolic or anything, but like I do feel like episode 7 was easily one of the best hour-long pieces of programming of the entire year. Like it is
absolutely.
It is unbelievable. And if they do more in this world, I don't know what's going on with them, but I just think they leaned into a kind of like character-based episode in a way that like Lost kind of got like almost lost in the weeds doing that, where like every other episode was like, well, spin our wheels over here with this character, I guess, yeah. and see what they were up to before the island. But this episode, like 7 of Castle Rock, builds so incredibly on things that they established a couple episodes before in its own little way. It was just unbelievable, and I was overall satisfied with the series. It definitely takes another turn in the next episode or two after that.
Right.
I actually really liked episode 8, because I feel like after episode 7, which had such a huge impact,
yeah,
episode 8 had to be a little bit like, here's some kind of almost schlocky entertainment. Yeah. And they really leaned into it in a really fun way.
Yeah, I really had fun with the series. I think because of its up and downs a little bit, I can't say, like, best show in the world. But when it hit, I was like, God damn.
When it starts out, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah, I love the first couple episodes.
There's a couple things where you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This isn't going to pay. Even if you pay this off, this isn't going to pay off. But there's enough things in it where I absolutely love it.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll maybe circle back on it when everyone's finished.
Yeah.
What else have you guys been watching other than Castle Rock?
I finished Final Space.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Nice. I watched the first episode or two, and I didn't, I knew that, like you were saying, it wasn't the greatest start, but I was laughing at it.
Great.
So I'm
going
to
keep going. Because I finished it, and I'm just going to watch it all over again.
Nice.
Now.
Oh, wow.
I goddamn loved it.
Nice.
It's so good. And as a science fiction program, one of the best science fiction things I've seen in ages.
Yeah.
So creative and open and goes in all kinds of fun areas and thoughtful areas. And I got choked up more than once watching the show. I laughed my ass off. The voice work is fucking great. The characters are so good. Somewhere around episode 6 or 7 or something like that, I was just so deeply in love with it. And then it ended. I love the ending is really quite something.
Sweet.
I strongly urge
both of you
to go through
it. It's one of those things.
And it's easy to watch. It's short.
Yeah.
22 episodes. There's only 10 of them. Like, just crush right through it. It's great. I couldn't recommend it more.
I feel like it's one of those things where, I don't know if I mentioned this last time we talked about it, but like the thing about Netflix getting so many of these properties that can be great because you might not have been able to seek out Final Space if you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't all right there for you, if it was on TV, you probably just wouldn't have seen it. But then at the same time, it's like, I saw the picture for it and was like, I don't know what this is. Should I? Why? It wasn't until you said it, and even with an episode or two, I laughed at the first couple, but I could see people being like, move on.
Yeah,
but
it's totally.
It just sucks that it's getting lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just sitting there for a while, and the only reason I wound up clicking on it is because I was, I had the TV to myself, and I just was like, I'll watch something that I know Athena won't care if I watch.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's
it's
the
short,
other thing,
and Fred Armisen's in it, so let's see.
Yeah.
And it started as just a little I'll just watch a bit, I'll watch a bit. And then I was like, by episode 4 or 5, I'm like, fuck, I think I really like this.
Yeah.
And then, episode 6, 7, 8, somewhere there, I'm like, good Lord, I like this. And the ending, I was like, masterpiece. Holy shit.
I'm going to keep watching it.
Boy, is it great.
Nice.
Boy, is it just great.
So watch Final Space.
Yes, please.
Yes.
I'd like to hear from people if they're watching it.
Yeah, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, what have you been doing?
I watched, in the same vein, I watched a Netflix original animated show that I was a little confused about. I was like, well, what exactly is this? It's a show called Paradise PD.
Oh, I watched 15 minutes of that or something?
I think I know why.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Because I was watching it and I was like, I don't understand why this looks like a ripoff of Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, it must not be that.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, I don't know, I like Kyle Kinane. I like enough people in it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll check this
Tom
out.
Kenny?
It is the worst piece of crap.
Oh, it's bad.
I fucking hate this show.
Yes, it's bad.
First of all, it feels like it's written by a 10-year-old.
Yes.
And it feels like that 10-year-old's a fucking idiot.
Oh, boy, it really does look like, hey, this is Family Guy.
And to the point where there was an episode of Family Guy where Brian, the talking dog, gets a job as a police dog and becomes addicted to drugs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember
and,
that.
And this dog, this talking dog in this show, is addicted to drugs and is basically Brian from Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
The first, it reminded me almost more of, what's the other one? Family Guy 2?
American Dad?
Yeah. It reminded me almost more of that.
Yeah.
the first big gag in the show is that a child shoots the dad in his nuts.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's the joke. There's not a punchline or anything.
No.
It's like, oh, you fucking shot me in my nuts.
Yeah, he shot his nuts off.
And then, yeah, and then you're supposed to go, oh, you shot him in the nuts.
That was great. Remember that?
I fucking hated the experience of watching
this. I didn't
this.
Like it right away, but then I was like, well, I wasn't like, you know, sold in on Final Space right away. Maybe I should just chill out and just let this thing happen. And I went another 10 minutes, I'm like, nope, this show's an asshole.
Yeah, this show is a, this show is a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, it is the fucking dumbest, like, most base, zero punchlines, just like, oh, douche, douche, douche.
Yeah, fuck me, zitza.
I fucking hate this piece of shit.
Oh, man. Don't watch it then.
No.
Paradise PD.
No.
On Netflix.
Sucks my nuts.
Oh, man.
You nuts.
He shot him in the nuts.
The nuts.
Oh, he shot him in the nuts.
Well, I watched something that wasn't on Netflix. I'm already deep into my, now I just start watching horror movies in September.
Yes,
yeah,
I noticed on Facebook
too,
that you are.
So I watched one that was something that I stumbled upon and said, well, this sounds like something I need to see. And it was a movie called Snow White, A Tale of Terror from 1997, which is actually a TV movie. But it stars Sigourney Weaver as the evil stepmother.
I remember something about this.
And let me tell you, I really liked this.
Oh.
And it's really, I'm not usually into the kind of like fairy tale sort of like live action stuff. And something about this I really dug. It's like, it's got Sam Neill in it as well. Oh. Monica Keena is really young and plays
this
the daughter.
This does sound familiar.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver was nominated for it, for an Emmy. And she really makes it worth watching. She goes so over the top. And it's really great. It's not so much like tale of terror horror movie take on it, but it is kind of like we're going to lean into it being a grim fairy tale kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not perfect, but I had a real entertaining time watching it.
Yeah.
And there's some really great stuff with Sigourney Weaver in it, and so I liked that quite a bit. But then I also watched something I'd never seen before from 1992 called Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
Oh, you've never seen
that? I've never seen that.
Oh, let's
that
talk.
That movie's a pile of crap.
I watched, a rewatch for me, first time watch for Athena, Hammer Films, The Horror of Dracula.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah.
Same story.
Yeah,
different,
totally.
Results.
I, listen, I really liked Dracula, although up at a certain point, I was no longer watching because I give a shit about the Dracula story, and I was more merely watching to be like, what the fuck is going to happen next? This movie's bonkers. And, I mean, I think this is, like, a masterpiece visually.
Oh, it looks
effects
great.
Effects-wise.
And Gary Oldman's a ton
Gary
of fun.
Gary Oldman. I thought all the stuff that he's doing, Francis Ford Coppola, with, like, transitions and miniatures and all the different, like, rear projections.
He made
and
a
stuff.
Huge effort.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest
it's
of the
a
movie's
very cohesive
just like
movie.
No, this is the thing.
Yeah. It's too long and
it's
way
too long, and they've put focus in a lot of weird areas.
Yeah.
Cause so Horror of Dracula, this is Christopher Lee's Dracula. And I didn't realize Alfred from Michael Keaton's Batman's.
Yeah.
Michael Goff.
Yeah.
He's in it. He plays Lucy's brother.
Yeah.
And somewhere halfway through the movie, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's Alfred.
Yeah.
Cool. And it's Hammer Films, and so it's got their look, and it's got a great, and this is like an hour and 20 minutes.
Sweet.
Just cracks through.
Perfect.
And what it does much better is it doesn't spend a whole lot of time with the Jonathan Harker business.
Yeah.
Like, they get that over with, because he's not the fucking story, man.
Yeah.
Van Helsing and Dracula is the story. And the Coppola one takes a long, long time to get to that.
Yeah.
They spend so much time with Keanu Reeves' nipples shooting little blood out and stuff. He was really trying, but those accent issues. I know that it's not a thing for you, Garmin.
I know.
But boy, is it out of control.
Oh, it's not good.
It's bad. So this like it almost seems like that's what the movie's about, and it isn't. And that's not what the book is about either. Like, yes, the letters are important, and he is important, but he's your kill him in the first act, okay, right away. Get it out there. It's should be 15 minutes tops of a 2-hour movie.
Yeah,
but it's like almost an hour, or I don't know. It's been a long time. I haven't seen that movie since the 90s. So Horror Dracula, great,
nice.
What a good time. Christopher Lee is so awesome, and all the performances are really good. I don't know her name off the top of my head, but the woman who plays Lucy, Jonathan Harker's fiance, she's great. She does such a good job of being like romanced by the Count,
nice.
You know, and when she gets turned and stuff, it's super cool. She's really, really good. She brings something extra to it.
I have a real blind spot for a lot of the Hammer. I've seen some Hammer, but I've got a real blind spot with their stuff.
I watched a bunch of them in high school just because I had like a book of like, greatest horror or whatever. And I was like, I don't know anything about this, and I feel like I should because it seems like it's a huge thing. And the camp ones are great because they're super campy, and then the good ones are great because they're really good, and they're pretty streamlined. They're never there's nothing slow about them. Same thing with their Frankenstein with Christopher Lee. Like, it really just cooks along.
Yeah.
So it's a good like cozy little. I don't know. I like it for Halloween. It's the Hammer films are worthwhile.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
I will say
now I sort of want to check out Coppola's again because it's been so long and.
I feel
visually,
like,
yes,
it's amazing.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I also really watched, really quickly, I watched, because Emma was like, you've never seen Dracula, we got to watch it. And then I was like, I've also never seen Interview with a Vampire. And she's like, we got to watch it.
Oh, yeah, neither is Oprah.
So I watched that too, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't want to contribute to the powers of darkness.
Yeah. Thanks, Oprah.
I will just say,
Jesus Christ.
She should run for president.
I tweeted this today, and I could not believe that, spoilers for this old movie, Interview with a Vampire, that Interview with a Vampire, which I didn't even really like, don't really remember caring about it at the time, so I didn't even know what kind of movie it was going to be. It had some funny things in it, didn't like it that much, but I couldn't believe that it actually, literally, for real, if you told me this before I watched it, I wouldn't believe you, ends with Tom Cruise in a car putting a tape in the tape deck that plays Guns N' Roses and like driving off into the night.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
90s is this bullshit. For that, I was almost like, this is amazing.
That's a clumsy film.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
I'll never watch
I like
that
Neil
one
Jordan,
again. It's a bit of a, it's a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, it wasn't supposed to be Christian Slater. That was supposed to be River Phoenix.
Yeah, and then he passed away.
He did
die,
so Christian Slater, his whole fee for the film, either to the
he donated,
Phoenix family or something.
And it ends with like but it's,
Cruise is good in it, though. He's the best part of the movie.
I like
Kirsten Dunst is fantastic.
I was going to say, when it becomes about her being pissed off and like slicing their throats and stuff, I was like, "Oh, this is cool."
When the casting came out that it was Tom Cruise, like Anne Rice lost her mind.
Was
against it. It was like, "No, it should be David Bowie." And but then we saw the movie and went, "I'm sorry."
Yeah,
he's good. He's good in it.
Yeah,
let's settle down. It's your stupid vampire book.
Yeah,
Anne Rice.
Yeah.
You don't get to be precious about your shitty book.
I read
that
book.
I've never read that book.
I read it.
I did.
I read it.
It wasn't for me.
So that's some vampire corner.
Sure,
Casey. Anything else?
I don't know.
One near.
Get off my dick.
Oh.
I don't know. What else? started watching a movie that I don't want to talk about right now.
Okay.
But
talk
I will
about
say,
it after we record.
I started watching the Netflix original Next Gen.
Oh I'm going to watch that. I've heard that that's actually quite good.
I'll wait until you guys have watched it. What I will say, spoilers. If my opinion is a spoiler, what I saw so far, I fucking love.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
It's so good. So
I got
to
watch it.
Yeah.
Really, really sweet and really funny.
Yeah.
I'm not through it enough. I don't say anything about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious though. I'm gonna put it on with Zoe at some point.
And it really held the kids' attention. Yeah. Like they were both like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, until it didn't, and then they were like, hey, let's destroy the house instead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Greg, did you watch the thing that you were posting about in our... Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, because I did.
Okay.
So we'll get to that another day.
Yes, indeed.
Greg posted...
Oh, you watched it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when you find out that there's an MST3K of it, it's like, why not?
That?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Mandy.
Oh, no. I just assumed that was going to come up in Film Roulette.
No, I didn't get a chance to... I didn't see that either.
Well, I did, and I will wait until you guys.
Okay, because I will be watching that.
Okay.
Both of them.
Nick and Blair tweeted about how good it was, and I'm like, eh, Wilson.
I really don't know what you would think of it, but that makes me want you to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking hated the trailer.
Yeah. I'd love to know what you think of it. anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No! I saw a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just bringing it up here so I can get people's names.
Yeah.
All right. I saw a Netflix joint called The Ritual.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, you saw that?
Oh, yeah. I think I did it for Winner's Choice.
Yeah, you talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. With Rafe Spall and some other people you don't know, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's barely known, but he's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
A group of college friends reunite for a trip in the forest, but encounter a menacing presence in the woods that's stalking them. It's these guys, they're friends, they're a group of five friends, and one of their friends is killed. And they were planning a group trip together, and the place he had suggested was a hike through these mountains. And so they decided to do what he would have wanted them to do as a group, as a way to honor him. And that's when they go out on this thing.
Yeah. And the director of The Ritual did stuff for VHS and then also another anthology called Southbound.
David Bruckner is the director's name. It's based on a book by Adam Neville. And I quite liked this movie.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but hey, what is, man?
Yeah.
but I thought they did a great job of having some character development for a horror movie with not spending too much fucking time. They got good actors, and that goes a long way. The guys came in prepared, I think, knew who they were displaying, and the relationships all made sense.
Yeah.
And Rafe Spall is a really good actor, and he really carries it. And there's some dynamite shit in the woods with them.
Yeah.
Really good scares.
I liked the monster.
Tension growing. The monster is wonderful.
Really cool.
Is this the one where the monster is a deer-headed gentleman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember you talking about this.
Yeah. It looks great. It's got a little pace thing that I wasn't happy about, but whatever, man. It's not the longest movie. I was okay. And then when I was thinking back to it, I'm like, man, I sure really enjoyed that quite a bit. It borrows a bit from this and that, but in the best kind of way. Like, there's a little, you get, you know, steer clear of the moors kind of vibe from the American Werewolf. You get a little bit of the better qualities of the Blair Witch without being too fucking, leaning into it. They're telling their own story. Hey, the woods are spooky. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And, and a couple of scenes where I was like, fuck that. Wow. And I thought a great climax.
I really did.
It's a good Halloween watch.
I thought the monster was really cool and interesting.
Super interesting.
Definitely something that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was it was a thing. Really good. Just like Athena and I just wanted something different than we hadn't seen. It was on there, and we went for it, and we were satisfied.
Nice.
If you're doing the Halloween Has Begun September thing, it's definitely a good one to check out. I thought it was just great.
Word, The Ritual.
The Ritual.
On Netflix.
Netflix.
I haven't watched anything. I've been watching a lot of the schlock, so I haven't seen anything that has been going for the legit scary yet.
Sure.
But I got to get on the actual train.
You know, let me tell you something.
Okay.
Athena and I just couldn't decide one night what to do, and then somehow it came up that she had never seen Nightbreed.
Nice.
Oh, God.
So you were like, okay, and then moved on.
Yeah. You were like, don't worry about it. Next.
I keep on thinking that there's something to like about Nightbreed.
Yeah. Well, there's a new cut. There's a new version
of it.
There's
no cut in any way to fix this fucking movie. It's so terrible. Nightbreed sucks so
bad. And I like
bad.
I can look at it and be like, there's some fun monsters in here, but I just don't like
aren't.
It.
They're all terrible. Just the guy cutting his face off. Literally the only thing.
That's fun.
Because the rest of it is just like this dumb musical that no one ever sings in. Yeah. Like whenever you go to Midian and see the monsters, they're like, yeah. It's like a commercial for cats or something. It's so fucking awful. But the thing I want to take away from it really is the female lead in it. Her character is like a singer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In a bar, and she has this Johnny Get Angry song, and there's this lyric I'm just confused by. I don't understand, like, because they recorded it for the movie, and it's kind of like some wannabe Concrete Blonde or something. I can't tell what they're trying to do here. And yeah, here I'm gonna play some of this song. Okay. Now the actress did her own singing, so you know, good for her.
Yeah.
And this song,
yeah,
plays.
She definitely sounds like she's doing a Johnette Napolitano.
Anyway, yeah, she wants a brave man, she wants a caveman.
What? She wants a caveman? Is that what she said?
I'm pretty sure. I want a brave man, I want a caveman, Johnny. What?
Huh.
What?
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
It comes up like
give
at least twice
lecture?
In the movie.
Yeah,
and
give me the biggest
it was stuck
lecture
in my
I've
head the whole
had.
Next day. I was like, I'm a caveman. You what? We what?
You may think you want a caveman.
I don't think you do.
Imagine your attention to the movie Encino Man.
Wait, doesn't work out.
Well, after that worked out okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ultimately,
maybe
yeah.
You do want a caveman. I want a caveman too. Pauly nice. Shore got a caveman, yeah. And look what it did for his career.
Oh my God,
Nightbreed
sucks.
Yeah, yeah. There was a review on Letterboxd I was just looking at where somebody was reviewing the Cabal cut, and they were just like, all the problems that Nightbreed has now it's also extra long.
It's like nothing about it is good or interesting. Oh, also when he turns into Cabal, like you got your main guy and secretly he's a Midian fucking Nightbreed dude too. Whoa, what's he gonna turn into? He's a guy with some squigglies on his face. Look at my squigglies.
I'm a squiggly faceman.
It's not even, he didn't turn into something cool. That's some horns or some fucking something.
Yeah.
Nah, squiggle face. She can't see me like this. I look ridiculous.
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm a terrible monster.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, red spaghetti hair. I mean, that's even better than fucking squiggle face.
than old blemish, man.
Yeah, they're all so bad. And there's just like eight of them, right? There's the night breed, and they're always talking about how they can't do things because of the law. The law, because they have a shiny mannequin. There's a mannequin with horns they keep in one of the rooms, and they're like, the law of Midian. Like, but there's eight of you. Who cares? No one's watching. There's no law. You can go outside. Do something. This is so stupid.
Yeah. They're apparently, or I've heard that they're making a TV show out of it.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best looking monster in it isn't even one of the fucking Midian Nightbreeds. It's fucking David Cronenberg's character's creepy button eye mask.
Yeah.
That's the best thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Tired.
Nightbreed.
Nightbreed sucks.
I love that you're like, she's never seen it, so we gotta watch it.
That's some poor judgment
on
your
part. Someone should see a bit of Nightbreed.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking that there's some campy enjoyment to it. It's not.
No, because it's boring as fuck.
It's fucking hell. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't like it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Nightbreed.
Go back to your weird blood orgies, Clive Barker, in the back of Nerd Melt.
Anything else then?
No.
Before film roulette? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Then let's go. Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good, or this week it was winner's choice. They could pick what they want to watch, and the low roller has to see something terrible, sometimes in theaters, sometimes at home, but the person who rolls low gets to give the album to listen to for the rest of the week. So we will talk about our two winning choice movies, we will talk about the loser, and then we will talk about an album, and then roll four movies next week. How do you guys want to do this? Do you think that you lined up, or do you think this is another rando?
I think it would be really weird if we did line up,
because
I watched a pretty arcane pick.
Okay. Wow. So who wants to go first?
I don't have too much to say about mine, so Greg, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, I caught up on a blockbuster I missed.
Oh, yeah?
I watched Jurassic Park,
Fallen Kingdom. Oh, man, I should have watched it.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
Yeah. I was going to watch that, but then I was like, no.
Well, I rewatched the first Jurassic World.
I had fun
when I was on vacation last winter. And on the second watch, just with like no expectation of anything, but just like popcorn movie, Athena and I had a great time. It's like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, absolutely. If you remove the weight of expectation or Spielberg or whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. So I was like, fucking A, let's check it out. I want to know.
Yeah. And I didn't like Jurassic World much at all, and I feel like that has primed me that now that Fallen Kingdom got a lot of really bad reviews, it primed me to be like, well, maybe I'm game for this stupid, silly movie then, because just go for it.
Yeah, like, that's kind of where I was at. I'm like, let's have some fun with some dinosaurs.
So this is J.A. Bayona as director, who did A Monster Calls, The Impossible, and The Orphanage.
Yeah.
And still stars everybody plus more from the previous film, including a small scene of Jeff Goldblum, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some other people.
Yeah. Hey, man, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
like, it's really bad. I was bored. Just bored.
Yeah.
It's flat. Nothing is. It's very forgettable. I'm trying to remember anything in this 2-hour movie, honestly, and I'm having a little bit of trouble.
It was at least directed okay, because I feel like he has a good eye. Like his movies.
I quite like his previous films.
I liked every single one of those movies.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes. Yeah. No. Nothing stood out. There was nothing where I was like neat. It was all just. It was really tired. Definitely the worst Jurassic movie to date.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah. Jurassic Park 3 is definitely better than this.
I love Jurassic Park 3.
I like it. It's pretty good.
I'm a
Lost World sympathizer.
Yeah, it's good.
I like a good time for that movie. It's some fun stuff.
I love how...
you know how, like, Lost World, Spielberg did some stuff to get creative with how to have action scenes, not just running from dinosaurs the whole time. They have the whole thing in the when they're in that fancy camper thing.
Yeah,
it's falling
that's
over the cliff,
scene.
And then her on the glass, and you build these scenes. And so this one is just not that. Just running. Here we are running some more. We're hiding in the dark. Oh, the lights are on now. We're running.
that's what I didn't like about the last one. It was just
This is even worse though. Yeah. And there's some plot point stuff that goes on that I'm like, what are we doing? What world is? What are we setting up? And it does set up something where the movie ends. I'm like, okay, I will watch another one.
You got me.
Will you go? Will you lean into this as hard as you have to make it work? Because where it ends, I'm like, why didn't you just make a movie here? You could have just zipped right up to this and done it and made something interesting. Because this was just filler. Like, so unnecessary. Nothing happens of worth. Nothing.
Going into it, when I watch it, I will already know that there is a point in the movie where a dinosaur pretends to be asleep and goes like with its eye or something.
Yeah.
So I'm just expecting it's going to be all dumb like that.
It's just dull is the problem.
Yeah.
It's a boring fucking movie. But it ends somewhere again, and I'm like, okay, if you lean into this.
Yeah.
I'll watch another one.
It just seems like such a disappointment that these last two movies have gotten these reviews that were like, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to be that like you're getting away from what it's supposed to be, but it just really feels like if you're going to at least not be like suspenseful or have like really well executed craft on display, like I really think Jurassic World is just like, oh, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Like direction wise and script wise, like at least just be like bonkers dinosaur fun.
Well, yeah, which is they might have that.
Yeah.
For later.
Okay.
They've opened it up to like, okay, this. You said it.
Yeah.
You said the thing. Do the thing now.
Because that's why, for me, Jurassic Park is actually really underrated, because it's like, okay, we're going to move away from what Spielberg was doing and just be a B-movie.
Jurassic Park 3?
Yeah. And Joe Johnson's going to direct it like it's just an adventure B-movie.
Yeah.
And, like, because the first ones are sort of building off the B-movie thing, but, like, the first movie is, like, scary, like, in moments, and the second one has stuff, too, with the suspense building of that kind of thing. So the third one is, like, there's suspenseful stuff, but it's mostly, like, a rollicking B-movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that is why that movie's great, because that's all you need to expect is wild things are happening, and they're running around, and the pterodactyls, and blah, blah, and it's just fun. Mm-hmm. Just keep doing that if you don't want to be Spielberg.
Yeah.
I don't know. What a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
That sucks.
Boring.
Fallen Kingdom.
Bummer.
Fallen franchise.
No, good.
Casey?
Yeah.
What was it that you watched?
Well, let's move from one boring movie to another boring movie.
We got a doozy episode here.
Last week, I was very sick. So came home early from work, got in bed, was like, I need to watch a dad movie.
Nice.
I just need something that's just like a real, real dad movie. And for some reason, I was interested to see this movie when I saw the trailer for it. So I watched The Commuter.
Oh,
you know what this
Liam
is?
Neeson. Is,
Liam
yeah,
Neeson.
Yeah,
I've been meaning to watch this because I'll watch these kind of things.
Yeah. it's in my queue on Netflix.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah.
But also, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, so this is from the director of Nonstop, Unknown, which are both other movies from with what's his name? Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And then he also did The Orphan and The Shallows and House of Wax, which I have a soft spot for.
Yeah. It's like this movie could not be more of a dad movie.
Yeah.
But it's also a fucking idiot.
No, it's also the director also did Run All Night and like four movies with Liam Neeson.
Well, that's
really?
Why like because I saw Run All Night. I think we did it for the show.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
And that movie wasn't very good, but I liked it. So I guess that's what I was looking for, is another run all night. A movie that's not very good, but I liked it. And that's kind of what I got from this, although it is a bit of a letdown. Because, like, it starts out, and, like, this movie doesn't bother, like, this movie's tired the whole way through. It's like, listen, I could set all these things up. I could be subtle and nuanced and I could in clever ways, but I gotta tell you, I had a long night last night. I didn't really sleep that well. Yeah. Why don't I just tell you what happens? So this movie basically just goes, Liam Neeson is like, hey everybody, I'm an old dad who lost all of my family's money. We lost all our money. And now we're living paycheck to paycheck. And the wife is like, I know, but we've got a son who's going to college. And Liam Neeson's like, I know, but I'm an old guy who used to be a cop, and now I sell insurance. And she's like, I know. Anyway, have a good day. And then he goes to work, and you'd be like, boy, wouldn't it be upsetting if he got fired from his job that he desperately needs?
Yeah.
And then his boss is like, hey, you're fired from this job. And he's like, no, I desperately need it. Well, I better go home on the train that I go on every day for the past 10 years. So I know everybody on the train.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
I totally know everyone on my commute.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't you know literally everyone you get on the subway with all the time because you mm-hmm. go that way every day?
Na-na-na-na train. Something for the Canadians.
Literally.
Oh, God, that show.
Yeah. Train 48.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Canadians know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vera Farmiga comes up to him and is like, there's somebody on this train who doesn't belong, and there's $100,000 or whatever in the bathroom. If you go and take that money
train
from the bathroom,
there's a bathroom on the train. This isn't
it's a train bathroom. it's a bathroom train.
Can you imagine if there was a bathroom on the TTC subway?
Can you imagine how clean it would be?
Like on the subway, I mean, because there are bathrooms in there and mm-hmm. in the stops sometimes.
Yeah. No, this is sort of like a GO train type of situation. Okay. Again, for our...
Are there bathrooms on the GO train? I think there are, yeah. Somewhere?
Yeah, I just usually go under the seat.
Yeah. Have you guys ever taken a dump on a boat GO train? Is that a is that a thing you can do?
Well, yeah, Greg, it's a thing you can do. I mean, but anyway, so that happens, and then he goes and finds the money, and I think he takes it, and then. And then he has to go and figure out, because all she says is, there's this person who doesn't belong. Find them and kill them. And he's like, can I get more to go on than that? And she's like,
did she offer money or is he, was he just an offer? Like, can you kill this guy?
Well, yeah, well, no, it's.
I am bored. We'll kill you.
Yeah,
we'll kill you or kill your family or what?
Well, no, it's like if you go and accept the money, if you go take the money out of the bathroom.
Oh, I see. There's money in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't I mention that?
I don't know. I was talking about taking poops.
We were talking about bathrooms.
I was looking at this Russian martial arts knife defense tape that Greg has.
Oh, man, it's informative. It'll show you how to, like, just disgrace someone with a foot on their face. Yeah.
So anyway, he spends the next little while trying to figure out who and why and whatnot. Yep. And then his family gets wrapped up in it, and they get kidnapped. And, oh, we find out before that there's a scene where his partner, Patrick Wilson, and the new police commissioner or police captain or whatever, Sam Neill, are there. And we're like, oh, we don't like Sam Neill because he's the new captain. But we do like Patrick Wilson because he's our ex-partner when we were a cop.
Mm.
And then you set those two big named actors up. And then you do all this boring shit, and you're like, hey, when are those guys going to come back? Oh, yeah, in the final act, when we find out that one of them is the bad guy. And then at the end, like, there's this boring. And then there's this crazy train. They start going off the rails on this, I don't know, crazy train. But that is what happens. They go off the rails on this crazy train.
Oh, shit.
And the end, it sucks.
But it was entertaining.
But there's
from
enough
the sounds
things
of it.
In it that where you're like, what, that's a plot point now? That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Now this is happening? This is fucking stupid.
I feel like it's a Netflix pick. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you might
probably
watch
yeah.
it. Like, honestly, if you are in the mood for a dad movie, this yeah. is a dad movie.
Nice.
Well, the other one was on a plane, right? There was one on a plane,
yeah,
nonstop. Yeah. I don't think I've seen any of those.
That's how I like my plane rides.
Nonstop.
Nonstop.
Listen, you stop somewhere and make me wait and get on another one, I'm out of here.
Like, once we get in the air, keep it going.
Yeah.
until we land. That's my criteria.
Oh, man. The commuter. Yes. Check it out.
Wow.
Dad.
What did you watch?
Yeah,
you fell in love with Dracula.
Yeah.
Oh,
from 2018.
Dan, did you fall in love with that Dracula?
I watched Dracula in Love, directed by Isidore K. Masalim. Dracula. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, ellipsis, Dracula, comma, and then you die.
Oh, man.
So
holy
good.
Shit, you guys. Fuck, this movie is on between this and Love on a Leash. Oh my god, we have found some, like, we are watching the wildest movies. These are so bad. This movie is so bad, and it's fucking Canadian.
Oh,
and I feel
it?
Like I have to apologize for everybody in this world for this movie.
You put a supercut,
yeah,
of the scenes in this movie up on YouTube, and I was excited to watch it, but they took it down because you infringed on their rights.
I know, and here's the thing. So I was like, I have to put some clips of this movie online. And it is a new movie, so that's pretty not cool. But I was like, I got to put some clips of this online for people to see. So I did like a 10 or 16 minute little supercut of the best parts, and then it got taken down on YouTube, which is fine. But it wasn't caught by the algorithm, because it'll be like, oh, this is a movie, take this down. It was manually caught, which makes me believe that, like, the person who made this movie was searching for their movie and then was like, hey, and then like reported it by hand, because it was like reported by thehollywoodwizard@gmail.com or something, and I was like, what? Yeah, so wow. Dracula in Love. I might try and get some smaller clips or a little clip here or there, because this movie has to be experienced. It is unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Good lord. So it is about this guy who takes a job at a warehouse because his uncle, who is an alcoholic, can't do his job for the night. So he goes and takes over looking after this warehouse where nothing happens ever, and immediately calls up his friends and is like, come and party, eh? And they all have amazing accents. There's one of the guys in particular has an unreal Canadian accent, and he just keeps saying shit like, hey babe, hey, whoa, that's the drive's the best thing for a stoned man, eh? Oh, it's just like, what the fuck? His accent is just
was the sentence you just said?
He talks about, like, the one guy takes a forklift, and she's like, should he be doing that? And he's like, good, drive's the best thing when you're stoned, eh babe? Or something. Anyway, the gist of the thing is, so his best friend comes to the warehouse with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend brings this goth girl that they don't know, and it's not super established other than, hey, we have a friend. And she's like, immediately like, this place is weird. There's something about this, you know, warehouse in Kingston, which the whole movie takes place in a warehouse. So it's like, I have a warehouse.
Oh, that's
I'll
awesome.
Make a movie now.
Yeah, great.
Oh.
Beautiful.
So the whole first like 45 minutes of this movie are these fucking assholes sitting around, smoking weed, drinking, putting music on, pretending to be
what kind of music
high.
They put on guitar solos,
garbage rock.
Yeah. I love when they turn on music in movies and it's just a guitar solo and somebody's like, nah, yeah.
This is my jam.
The one guy does this scene where he puts on this song and then he goes like, wah! And it's so bad. And one of the songs in one of the scenes has some lyrics that I wish I had gotten on my phone, but it's like, I don't know how to do it, but it leads up to the line perfectly, and then the lyric is like, I pumped your daughter from behind.
Oh my God.
Oh, like, I'm sorry.
And
what?
It's like a rock song. It's like, when I pumped your daughter from behind. It's like, what the fuck? And that's over like a scene of somebody making out.
Great.
The sexy scene. So this movie is a lot of not quite softcore level sex, but there is a bunch of like scenes where there are just two people just like on top of each other and you're like, I think he's having sex with her lower back and shit like that. And there's a lot of scenes where
this must be how Canadians
do it. There's a lot of scenes where somebody is doing something sexual and then another person just walks into the scene and is like, Oh, it's like, is there for a minute? And you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Wow.
And anyway, so there's a crate that has Dracula in it, and eventually he gets the girl, the goth girl, to come over to the crate, and then he comes out of the crate and he's like, listen, like, we should be together, and you felt my presence here, and I'm in love with you, and you should probably kill those other people, and then we'll fuck, and we'll be together forever. And she's like, okay. I'm in love with you now, Mr. Dracula, who looks like Uncle Fester. And so she kind of, I guess she kills the other two guys in the most like off-screen garbage way. They like get hung up on a rope like off-screen and then it's revealed. And then she dances a spicy salsa dance with this old fucking Uncle Fester looking guy, and it's played super sultry, and then they get into the box, and then it like shows all these cuts of footage from the movie over them moaning and groaning and bumping and grinding in the box. Whoa. and then they get out of the box and Dracula's a hot naked dude and she's a naked lady, and they walk into like the sunset, and it's like Dracula in love.
That's the end
of the movie.
Wow.
That sounds
great. It seriously spends like 45 to 50 minutes before Dracula shows up, and all it is just these idiots being dumb and sometimes having sex.
So she kills everyone.
She kills everyone. Dracula doesn't kill anybody. The one guy who is running the show, like who's got the uncle who asked him to come, ends up sleeping with the other guy's girlfriend. And then so the other guy punches him and is like, hey, oh, fuck you, eh? And like there's some dumb drama about all that.
Oh, my God.
But honestly, you gotta I will find a way to get some of these clips for people to see that in a way that won't break the law, because it is amazing. It is amazing. Amazing. It is so unbelievable. There's a scene where the guy drives off in the forklift, and it's that scene where the girl's like, where is he going? And he's like, oh, it's great to go on a drive when you're stoned, babe. And then he's like, anyway, who cares? Like, I don't care where they go. I care about you. And she's like, show me. And then immediately a song goes like, bam, da, da, bam, bam, da, da, bam, and they start making out. And they've put this like thing on the video, like a filter, a motion filter, where it's like, you know, like on Instagram, you can do that thing where it's like the zooms.
Yeah.
On the, and it'll like zoom in and out and randomly. It's like that, but it's like going in randomly, and they haven't just chosen where it goes in at. So it's like going in on his arm for no reason, and like on like on like areas where there's nothing of note. And it does that for like a whole song.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's a must see for anyone who likes to be punished by garbage.
Yes.
And it's Canadian, so there's hilarious Canadian accents.
Yeah, I gotta check this out.
I'll find a way to get my cut up. So you just watch the thing that I made. It has all the best parts. Yeah, it's Dracula in Love. It was so, so bad, but also a masterpiece. So there's that.
Jesus. Yeah. Well then.
Dracula in Love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
You got to watch it.
Fall in love.
Yeah. Now, Casey gave us a record to listen to.
Yeah.
Originally, I gave you Cardi B, I think, because I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't want you guys to explain it to me. which was sort of an underwhelming pick. But then I called an audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if I understand correctly, is a sports term.
It's a mulligan. Yeah.
Because the new Eminem album came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this will be interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise release.
Kamikaze.
Yeah. Surprise release. Surprise.
Yeah. Now.
What he said. This album cover bears a striking resemblance.
Yes.
Oh, just a striking resemblance.
Licensed to Ill. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, Licensed to Ill.
Yeah. But with
by,
slight differences.
The Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Many feel this is a return to form for Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What did you guys think?
Well, I was upset because I had already revisited Cardi B, and I don't love the Cardi B album, but I actually have some time for it, and I think it's pretty good.
I don't mind it. It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm still going to check it out.
It's not bad. I like it. As far as that, you know, like mainstream pop rap stuff, like I think she's doing some pretty cool stuff, and she's an amazing rapper. So I was like, oh, I'm ready to come back and be like, guys, this is actually pretty cool. I like this. It's not bad. And then you were like, oh, actually, we'll listen to Eminem. And I was like, oh, great, because I don't like him at all, really, you know. So here we go.
Yeah. My first listen to it was in the car with, like, people from work. And we were like, oh, that just happened.
Yeah.
And we put it on. And when it was just on while you're talking to somebody, I was like, my God, this man can rap.
Yeah.
It was just he's really... You know, like, he had that Rap God song a few years ago, in which I was like, I don't know. Like, and everything's felt like a little, I don't know, flat for, like, a long time from him. And so he's really worked up, and it's the flow is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's,
and I was
he's
like, holy
an amazing
shit.
Rapper,
he
technically.
He does some stuff that's just like, I've never heard him go so fast.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. And then I listened to it more carefully, and the lyrics were, I only caught, like, some stuff. Like, that thing where he was, like, we're talking about how he doesn't sleep, he doesn't even nod to the beat, he doesn't close his eyes when he sneezes. I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
And then I listened to the song, paying attention to all the words, and I was like, God damn it. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
What the fuck's your problem?
He's stupid.
I don't mind calling out other rappers. That's fine. Now he's got his little thing with the...
I'm so fucking bored of it. You fucking 40-some-odd-year-old man.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he made a record where he just came out and he was, like, really happy that he's the most talented rapper in the world?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? And he just said cool shit that was, like, fun and, like,
instead,
said it real
fast.
He's
got a little beef with some guy named Machine Kelly or Machine Kelly. And I heard his song, which
it's very bad.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, it's not very good.
That guy is terrible.
Yeah, he really sucks, and it's really fucking
but
stupid.
But he's not a dummy. He's the only one who was like, capitalize on this. Yeah. He's got an EP totally coming out in like a week. Like, that's good for him for being smart and like, hey, Eminem just baited all of us to see which one would do this so he can have something in the media constantly.
Yeah.
It's a smart move.
Yeah,
and he baited all these guys, and one dummy went, me. And now he'll be popular for a couple of weeks, and Eminem stays up there and has more attention than he's had in a while.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was listening to it, and there was like, some stuff was interesting, and some of the disses were fun and stuff, or I don't know. Half the people, I didn't know who the fuck he was talking about. And then, you know, the Tyler, the Creator thing happens, and you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Are we really going to have homophobic slurs in 2018? Are you this fucking checked out? And then there's the, like, relationship-y songs that are in there. They're a bummer.
Yeah. It really feels like an old man, like, who goes, well, my fans expect me to be what I was, you know, in the early 2000s. So, you know, he sings a song about how he's mad at some lady. And at this point, like, it used to be his ex-wife or whatever, but now... He's just mad at some lady.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I'm going to break your jaw with a fucking bat. and it's like, are you? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to break her fucking
jaw?
No
one likes
that,
man.
Like, nobody thinks you're cool.
Yeah.
You're just a sad fucking old man. Like, and your wordplay is really great, but what are you using it for?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, it
nothing.
Makes me so mad because he is so great at rapping. Mm-hmm. And I just made me so mad. I just hated it. because of that juxtaposition of talent and garbage lyrics. Yeah. And I just feel like that the Beastie Boys cover thing is like so telling. It's like, I really like that Beastie Boys record, but I also recognize that like it's the record that they had to grow up off of. Yeah. And they had to say sorry that we said some things that we said when we were younger. And it's so telling for this old dude to make his cover like that and be like, remember, I gotta go back to what I used to be.
I'm regressing.
It's just like, like, no, fuck off.
I'm a hard man and I'll fucking murder you and stuff.
Yeah.
I wrote a song for a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, and then Venom song at the end of it.
What's that voice you're doing there?
Oh, that's Eminem. Didn't you notice? That's a dead-on Eminem.
You're thinking of Cookie Monster.
Yeah, 601.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like...
He's really upset that you guys didn't like The Revival, which apparently is an album.
Yeah.
He's really mad at you guys.
Well, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And who cares? I did find what... Like, there's the blueprint for him to, for something to work well for him is here. Because most of these songs don't have hooks. It's just like a beat, and he...
He tries.
There's a couple...
He sings some stuff on here.
Oh, yeah, that's really bad.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But, like, that first track and a couple of them, like, it's just more of, like, display of skill shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he should almost do now, but not all of this garbage content.
Yeah.
But, like, it's almost like listening to, like, a Joe Satriani album. You're just there... You're not there for, you know, like, choruses and hooks and stuff.
Yeah.
You're there to enjoy the skill.
You're there to surf the alien or whatever.
But it's a different vibe. It's not like Joe Satriani's songs are like, and suck it, Eric Clapton, you fucking dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking murder your...
Yeah. Oh. Steve Vai's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yngwie. What rhymes with Yngwie?
But I mean, if he did,
Yngwie, you're ing gay.
Yeah.
If he put out an album that was just like not worrying about hooks and just like showing off his talent and like even remotely positive. Can you show me a little bit that you're happy that you're 45 years old and you still get to rhyme for a living?
Yeah.
And
it doesn't even have to be like. It doesn't even have to be positive stuff. It can just be like brag rap.
Yes.
It can be like fun.
Because that thing about not sleeping and not into the bed, that's great,
it's
man. Fun. Do that.
Like, and again, if you want to have a concept kind of thing, make it about how you're like, oh, I'm finally free of all the fucking dumb shit I used to be into, and now I can just be fun.
Yeah.
Now I can just fucking have fun. And also, the beats... suck on this record.
Yeah.
There
was a couple I was like, this is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't remember what any of the beats sound like.
No, you can't because they're literally just there as a conveyance for the thing that he does. But if you put a little bit of time into it, if you structure your rhymes into a beat that's actually kind of cool and fun, then you've actually got real songs, not just a bunch of platforms for your twisty wordplay that is just a whole lot of noise.
Yeah, it's just like when those first albums came out, you know, the skill combined with like the sort of darkness but also the cartoonishness of some of those, like My Name Is and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just had that thing that worked at the time. And then it became like, I'm whatever you say I am. And it's like, okay, you're like coasting off the backlash into this like pushback. Mm-hmm. And I guess that worked out fine because they had some big songs. But then, it's like, you don't need to keep being like, now I have to be this. Like, I gotta go back to like, who's popular now? I'll just rip them down. Like, the mumble rap is popular or whatever, the cadence, so I'm going to make fun of that. And it's just like, you can just do something else, anything else that's not like that. Like, you put up such a front about, like, whatever you say I am, I'll be, I guess. And it's like, fuck, I'll just be something. Just, I don't know, fuck.
And it's funny because, like, he's all mad about that in that song. I am whatever you say I am. And then on this album, he's whatever anybody, like, that's exactly what he is. Just, oh, okay, then you're just a fucking angry puppet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just sucks.
It's a bummer, so man.
Yeah, because he really has some, he can really do some interesting stuff with rhythmic speaking. It's just things he's speaking about are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got, Dan?
I got something for you.
What do you got?
Well, I was going to give you another tribute record.
Oh, my God.
But this discussion of somebody coming and putting out a new record that you know, might not expect to just have new music because they're a thing of a certain era got me thinking. Got me thinking about how Good Charlotte have a new record.
Oh, my fucking God.
Nope. New record called Generation RX. And they did a thing where they did a thing where they played a song with Dr. Phil.
What?
And Dr. Phil was dressed up like in their little goth makeup.
Oh, I saw a picture like that, and I did not investigate because I did not care.
Yeah. So they played a song together. And they have a new record called Generation RX, and I can't imagine what that is going to be like, if it's just going to be their
thing. Well, it's not going to be good.
That's what it's going to be like. There you go for the cover. Very spooky for the time of the year.
What a bunch of Dig Dugs. I hate this fucking band. I hate them so much.
You call them Dig Dugs or Ding Dongs?
Dig Dongs. What a bunch of Dig Dugs.
Dig Dug.
Dig a little tunnel.
I love that.
This was the worst. When this band was big, that was the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we did one of their...
Horrible.
At that time.
I made you guys listen to one at some point.
So...
Oh, my God. I hate them so much. Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Look at that dumb cover. What the fuck are you guys doing?
Is this only three songs?
Yes. Is it?
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
Well, too late. You already gave
it
to us.
No, sorry. There's nine.
Okay, good. Phew.
And yet, I bet it sounds like only three songs.
I bet you're right.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Fuck me.
So there you go.
Hey, Rock Sound says 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Rock Sound? Ooh,
Exclaim
good.
Says 6 out of 10.
There's no... Yeah.
There you go. Generation RX, more like it. Prescription.
Got him.
Pharmaceutical.
Yeah,
get
drugs.
It?
Everybody likes to take drugs now because they're...
I hate this fucking band.
Great. Yeah. Well...
All right.
Could have given you a bunch of bands. Yeah. Well, time to roll.
What are we rolling for?
I believe Predator, because none of us ended up seeing it. And though there are some ups and downs in the reviews, we got to watch the Predator.
Yeah.
And all of the reviews that were positive seem to be positive for the right things.
Yeah,
like it's just a fun Shane Black.
Yeah,
movie.
It seems like it seems like the worst thing about it that I've read is that it's like not as cohesive as you would want. It's messy, which is like fine.
I think the worst thing about it is that Shane Black keeps casting shitty pedophiles.
Yeah, what's
movies.
That thing about? Jeez, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, come on, guy.
This guy can't be that good.
Yeah,
what the fuck.
So, Predator in theaters. We'll check it out. See what's up.
That's right.
Losing film.
Whoa.
Speaking of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
There is a movie out there called Jurassic Bark.
I get it.
And it looks like a PlayStation 2 cutscene.
It does.
And it looks so bad.
It's got a subtitle, The Fallen Kingdom of Bones.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense.
Because dogs like bones. Dinosaurs are made of bones.
Kingdom,
Was the kingdom... Dinosaurs are made of bones.
Was the kingdom bones and then the kingdom crumbled? Or was the kingdom...
Yep.
Did the kingdom use bones as currency?
Yeah, it was a kingdom. It was a kingdom.
Whoa, what's with this cat's arms?
Yeah, I noticed that too, and
holy
I didn't like
shit,
it.
I just noticed that. I thought the dog had antlers.
Yeah, so go look up Jurassic
Park.
That
dinosaur looks so happy. He's like, hey! Look at him. He's having a great time. He's like, I love that cat's hands.
Yeah, so this is going to be wonderful.
I'm already into it.
Oh, yeah. The Google Jurassic Park movie and look at those arms on that cat.
It's super weird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, this is going to be stupid. So,
yep.
So let's see who has to watch that. Casey, you want to roll first?
Hey, yes. I got some dice. Oh, is that the 10? Is that our big one?
Yeah. This is our guy. Okay, this our guy.
Okay, go.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
That's a 6.
6. I feel comfortable with
all
that.
All right. 1, 2, 3. That's a 7.
Oh, no.
I feel comfortable with that.
No, I'm nervous.
That's a 7.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Kingdom of the Bones.
Yeah. He's Case of Cat Arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Next week, Casey will watch Kingdom of the Bones. They will both talk about Generation RX, man. We're all prescribed.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, the government's keeping us down, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our parents. And rich people.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute.
Not us. The other ones.
Yeah.
People who didn't get rich off of fucking shit.
Also talk about the Predator. So that's our episode next week. That's our episode today. Email us at info@modernsuperior if you'd like to let us know what you thought of the show. Go to Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC, where we will post our episodes, and let us know what you think. Rate and review us on iTunes. As always, we will see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Goodbye, Internet. There are weird arms on that weird cat.
There are weird arms at the end of that cat.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.